Got you more at a different angle tonight. You know, that was, it was a surprise for me, learning about Brother Paul. But man, isn't it good to know that we can rejoice for the life that he had, and now for the rest that he'll have, and the joy that he'll have, and the excitement and the reunion that he's having with his loved ones there and Jesus. Amen? Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, I hope you came ready to listen, because I've got a whole lot to say, and I'm going to try and squeeze it all in here in the time that we've got. I am so glad that you are here tonight, and I will just begin with some scripture. We're going to talk about, Pastor Ben mentioned the Apostle Paul. We're going to talk about him in just a moment. Colossians 4, starting with verse 2. The Apostle Paul writing, he says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains." The mystery of Christ. And he says, "For I am also in chains." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Lord God, for your word and for the worship time that we had tonight. Lord, we continue in that attitude of worship, uplifting your word and the name of Jesus this evening. And I pray, Lord, as I preach this message, that there will be those who will be stirred to a greater level in their own Christian walk, that they would see, Lord God, more of you in this message and more of your will for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was not an apostle simply by title. I mean, he clearly earned that title. He had a burden for his own people, the Jews, right? But he also had a genuine apostleship to the Gentiles. And by the way, sound guys, if you could bring down the house a little bit, I'm distracting myself. All right, that's much better for me. I hope it's okay still for you. He had a genuine apostleship to the Gentiles. Now, the church in Jerusalem was facing a tremendous deal of persecution, and because of that, also a great deal of financial, shall we say, turmoil. They had a real difficult financial burden on their hands because they were ostracized, right? And so Paul, in his desire to help out his own folks, the Jewish people in Jerusalem, he took up an offering from among the Gentiles that he was working with. And then once he got that offering collected, he decided that he and eight traveling companions, it included Timothy and Luke, they were going to take that offering, take it from Greece to Jerusalem. And Paul was kind of in a hurry. He wanted to get there in time for the Feast of Pentecost. So they're on this journey, and he finally arrives in Jerusalem, all excited to be there. And he presents that offering to Pastor James. And then after 3 days, he went to the temple. He went there to worship. He didn't go there to preach. He didn't go there to put out some new idea and get into any kind of an argument with the folks that were there. He just simply went to the temple to worship. And while he was at the temple, there were some Jews there from Asia that recognized him, and they stirred up the crowd. They turned the crowd against Paul. They said that he taught the Jews to break the law of Moses. Not true, not true. But yet, a riot broke out. Everything just kind of went wacky. And the mob that came after Paul, it was a serious deal, so much so that the riot that broke out summoned a Roman garrison from the Antonio Fortress, and a Roman commander rescued Paul from being torn apart by the crowd that had been so riled up. Now, because of all of the accusations, and things weren't quite clear, other than that there was great animosity and anger toward Paul, it wasn't quite clear to this Roman general. He arrested Paul, mostly for Paul's protection, but also so that there could be an investigation launched to determine whether or not there were any true charges worthy of holding Paul further. Now, in order to figure all of this out, a trial was set. The Jews hired themselves a pretty famous lawyer to prosecute Paul, and Paul stood as his own lawyer to defend himself. Well, he defended himself before Governor Felix, and that didn't result in his being released. And then he defended himself before Governor Festus. And in that defense, he actually appealed to Caesar in Rome. So, to Rome, Paul was sent. Now, you've no doubt heard about his journey there. On a ship, big storm comes up. I mean, a big storm. And it just wiped out the ship. The ship was wrecked. The folks that were on that ship, most of them prisoners, being transported to Rome, they escaped, made it to shore, and then, of course, from there on, they continued on in their journey when the weather got better and they were able to procure another ship. But think about that short period of time, Paul, he escaped death several times. First from that mob that he was rescued from, then from the Jews who were trying to get him killed through that trial process, then on that ship through the whole storm that raged, and then the shipwreck, and even at that point, the Roman guards wanted to kill all of the prisoners so that none would escape, but they were stopped. And then, of course, he makes it to shore, swims to shore with the rest of them. Everybody survived. And then Paul gets bitten by a deadly venomous snake with no ill effects. So again, he escapes death. And so he ends up in Rome. Yet, he was in chains. Paul had never been to Rome before. And he was given and he even states this in his writings, he was given considerable liberty. He was allowed to rent his own house, had his own little villa. He was able to have friends and visitors come by, and there was actual ministry going on. He was teaching and preaching there at his own home. And still, he was in chains. I mean, literally, he was chained to a Roman soldier to be sure that he would not run off. Now, these, I believe, are the literal chains that Paul is talking about when he talks about speaking the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. There were literal chains, but I also believe there were figurative chains. Paul was bound figuratively as well. When Paul says, I am in chains, I think we can take that both literally and figuratively. And though it may not apply to you literally, in fact, I don't see anybody there with chains, I do hope that it applies to you as well as it did to Paul in a figurative sense. And that's what I'm going to talk about. As born-again believers, we know that Jesus came to set the captives free. Amen? Amen. He set us free from sin, from Satan, from bondage, from addictions, from sickness, from poverty, from fear. You've been set free. Jesus, as the Messiah, the Anointed One, came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Right? And the opening of the prison to those who were bound. That's what it says in Isaiah 61. Jesus said that the Son, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That's in John chapter 8, verse 36. See, many of us, I'm looking at you, many of us can testify of how the Son has set us free. Is anybody out there that you could testify? You could say, hallelujah, Jesus Christ set me free. I didn't quite hear that. Can I hear a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Jesus Christ set me free, and I'm sure he set you free as well, because we've all been bound at one point or another. Jesus has set us free. Now, you may be set free, but there is a yoke that Jesus puts on you. See, there are chains that you were freed from, but also, hopefully, chains that you were bound with. See, when you come to Jesus, he doesn't just set you free so that you can go about your merry way and return to him, say, some 20, 30, 40, 60 years later, whenever you go on to be with the Lord and you show up in heaven. See, when you come to Jesus, he has a plan for you. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you were like me, you were heavy laden with the devil's burdens, under the devil's yoke. And Jesus said, come to me. He said, come to me and I'll give you rest. But he also said, as you see it here, he said, take my yoke. Now his yoke is easy. His yoke is light, but there is a yoke. There is a yoke. The question isn't whether or not you will have a yoke around you. The question is, whose yoke will it be? Whose yoke will you have? I tell you, the devil's yoke will crush you. The burden of the devil's yoke will crush you. Proverbs 13:15 tells us that the way of the unfaithful is hard. The way of the unfaithful is hard. You know, oftentimes you hear people say, oh, the Christian life, it's hard. No, it's not. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. The way of the unfaithful is hard. In fact, anyone who tells you the Christian life is hard is already two steps closer to backsliding, because they're already making excuses in their mind why this is such a hard thing to do. No, the way of the faithful is easy. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. The burden that Jesus places on you is easy. Now, Jesus doesn't just set you free so that you can live that life free of care and concern. No, see, Jesus implores us to accept his burden, to take on his yoke. And there are chains that you have that Jesus put on you. Paul had chains. There are chains he puts on you. Philippians chapter 1. Verses 12 and 13 says this, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard. He's talking about the guards that he's chained to in Rome, that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Paul is saying, people know that the chains that bind me here are not those metal links that hold me and connect me to that Roman soldier. The chains that bind me here are the ones that connect me to Jesus Christ. Paul was draped with a chain fashioned out of commitment. It's a chain that was made of decision. Paul made the decision. It's a chain that was forged with passion and emotion. And it's a chain that is strengthened by commitment, by dedication. He says, for which I am also in chains. And I also am in chains. I am chained together forever with Jesus Christ and those things of Him. In fact, I'm going to go through a list. Wherever I go, I'm never too far away from those things that for Christ that I am chained to, that I'm also in chains. It's for Christ, in fact, that this chain was fashioned out of my own commitment, my commitment to Jesus. It's not like anybody else came along and fashioned those chains upon me. It was my decision, my choice to be in chains for Christ, His chains. It's a chain that's strengthened by dedication. The more dedicated I become, the stronger that bind is. For Christ, I am chained to many things, and let me share a few of those with you. First and foremost, for Christ, not for anybody else, not for any other reason, but for Christ, I am chained to the Bible. I am chained. I don't just have a Bible. I have a lot of Bibles. I don't know how much money I have spent over the years on Bibles. You know, I used to have to buy a new one every 6 to 9 months just because I'd wear them out. The bindings would break and pages would fall out and the covers would get torn. I have a lot of Bibles. And I don't just read a Bible. I am chained to the Bible. I am chained to it. When I got saved, I couldn't leave the Bible alone. I mean, literally, I could not leave it alone. I picked it up, and I haven't put it down since. I mean, I've told people of this in my work. You know, when I got saved, I was just a rock and roll DJ on the radio. And I was doing the afternoon drive time show every day. And in between songs, I had my Bible. I tell you what the weather was. Tell you, this is the next song by whoever it was. Shut off the microphone, and then I'd go back to where my Bible was. We had, back in those days, you know, we had turntables in the studio. We weren't using those turntables anymore because we'd already converted to a tape format. So there are these two big turntables off to my side, and my Bible sat right there. And so I'd do my thing, and I'd talk and tell you all the stuff you needed to know, shut off the microphone, and then I'd go back to reading my Bible. In the middle of my day at work, I was reading through the Bible. I couldn't get enough of it. It was life for me. Hallelujah. There was one time I was in an accident. I was in a car accident. It was a day at just snowed the night before, and I was on the interstate highway, and I was kind of going around a curve, and I won't give you all of the details, but let's just say, in my little Honda Civic, I flipped that car over and spun down the highway at 60 miles an hour. I had a little sunroof, you know, I saw the pavement swirling by under me. I'm hanging by my seatbelt. And there I am, I'm hanging by my seatbelt, and I'm on the interstate highway, and cars are zipping by, and I'm thinking, well, I probably shouldn't get out because I could get hit by a car. And as I sat there, I thought about that. I started smelling gas, and then I thought, you know, I shouldn't just sit here. This thing could blow up. And so I let my seatbelt loose, and I dropped to the ceiling. And the first thing I did was reach to the back seat where my Bible had been. Now it's on the roof. And I grabbed my Bible and I went out the door of the car. And it was a windy day and there was gas because I just filled up the tank. There was gas just pouring out of the gas cap, out of the gas tank. As I went out, the wind is blowing and I got all full of gas and my Bible was full of gas. I mean, it smelled bad, but I still have that Bible. Had to leave it out on our balcony for a couple of days just to air out so that the smell would go away. But, you know, of all the other stuff in my car, I didn't bother any of that stuff. I just grabbed my Bible and took it. I am chained to the Bible. I'm chained to my belief in the Bible. It is the foundation of everything that is within me. It's the foundation of my ministry. It's the foundation of my life. If the Bible speaks to me in an issue, I am bound to believe it. I am bound to believe, no matter how foolish it may sound to the world or how unpopular it might be with the crowd that wants to tell you what's right and what's wrong these days, I am bound by the chain of conviction and belief to that word. I tell you, many a brilliant mind has tried to disprove the Bible, and in the process they have become converted to it. Nobody has ever gotten smarter than the Bible. I mean, I'll just tell you. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Forever it is settled. The question is it settled in your heart? Is it settled in your heart? You know, once you settle what you believe about the Bible, the rest is just learning. Just learning more and more. Smarter people than I can cite a long list of reasons to believe that the Bible is infallible and it's divinely inspired. I mean, you've got archaeological evidence, you've got prophecies that have been fulfilled, you have the amazing unity of the Word, you know, over 40 authors and 66 books, and yet it all seems to fit together. They're in agreement. There are martyrs who have died for the testimony of that Word. Divine ideas that are contained in it, the evidence of Jesus speaking to the validity of the Old Testament, all of these things, all impressive, all of them valid. Any thinking person who would halfway take a look at it would have to agree that this is the inspired divine word of God. And yet for me, I am chained to the Bible, not because of all the evidence that they might cite. I am chained to the Bible because of my own experience. I've proved it with my life. I've been living by the principles and the promises of this book, and it works. And I said, I have a lot of Bibles. Well, I do, and now they're all here. I don't know, I've got probably 6 or 7 translations in this one alone. I used to, like I said, every 6 to 9 months, I'd have to buy a new one, and now I don't. But I still have boxes of Bibles from my past. Now I just download a new version if I want something new. This one hasn't worn out yet. Praise the Lord. All right, what else am I chained to? For Christ, I am chained to the gospel. Yeah, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, as I've mentioned before, I have no other hope for the world. Not at all. Generally, you know, I'm a very optimistic person. But without the gospel of Jesus Christ, I become an incurable pessimist. I ask myself, what can we do to help people? What can we do to help those who are hurting, those who are in need, those who certainly are lost in their own lives? What can we do to help them? Well, without the gospel, I honestly have no good ideas. Outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, I have no faith in political solutions. I have no faith in social or human solutions. My faith is in the gospel. Now, I won't stop you from trying to pursue them if you want to, but I have little hope that you'll accomplish much. See, my political philosophy is, let's put the government on Jesus's shoulders. That'll take care of all of the political problems that we deal with. Every single one of them will go away when the government is resting on his shoulders. My philosophy, or my social philosophy is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all that other stuff is going to be added. Amen? My psychological philosophy is that he is the wonderful counselor. He is the wonderful counselor. Now, you can spend $150 an hour on somebody who isn't quite as wonderful if you want to, but I'm telling you, Jesus is the best counselor you could have. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without that gospel, I'm a pessimist. But with the gospel, I absolutely believe that it is the power of God to salvation. That is to everyone who believes. As we used to sing, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Amen? Above him there is no other. Jesus is the way. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm saddened and I'm perplexed and I'm even angered that there are a lot of preachers who no longer really preach the gospel. I mean, even so-called Bible-believing guys that are on our side, they either don't really think about it or they don't, well, maybe they don't even really know it. I don't know. Some of you would, well, I'll just move on. I'll just move on. Well, here's the gospel. Before I get myself in trouble, here's the gospel that Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead and he ascended to the Father and he is there at his right hand, and that if you believe in him, you will be saved. And there is no other way. No other way to salvation. No matter how you try to get to God, you're not getting to him with any other way, any other route, any other work than through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I am bound by chains to that gospel. From a half-blind, worldly perspective, there may be other ways to happiness, but mere happiness is short-lived. It's a shallow goal, and we should be better than that. We should be smarter than that, just to think as long as I find something that makes me happy, I can get through another day or two or a week. Come on, we need Jesus Christ. We need the gospel. For Christ, I am also chained to the faith life. You've often heard me say, and the Bible repeats it three different times, the just shall live by faith. Faith is not an emergency kit. You know, oh man, things are going wrong. I guess I better start reading my Kenneth Hagin books or you know, do a YouTube search of what the other, you know, what Oral Roberts used to preach on. No, I am bound to the faith life. And I'm not bound just to preach the faith life. I am bound to live the faith life. I always want to be growing in my own faith, to be stretching for more. And I continually have to remind myself, God is bigger. As much as I think of God and as much as I know that he can accomplish, I still have to stretch myself to remember and to trust and to begin to believe for more of what God has for me and for you. I'm bound by it. I need to be stretching that faith envelope in my own life. In fact, I feel it's about time for a good stretch right now. I don't mean physically, I mean spiritually, I mean faith-wise. Usually when I say that kind of thing, Sarah starts to get nervous, like, oh man, what's he going to do now? What's the next big thing? But I always want to be pressing on to what I would call an even more radical faith. Why? Because we serve a big God. Because I know that, in all that I believe, in all that I preach, I'm just scratching the surface. Just scratching the surface. Moving on. For Christ, I am chained to the victorious Christian life. By that I mean I believe that God wants the best for me. I believe that God wants me to live in victory. I believe that His Word states that He wants us to do well, that He wants us to prosper. In fact, I'll look at some scripture here in a moment. But, you know, I didn't always believe in the victorious Christian life. I used to think that God was somewhat aloof about folks, or even at times that God would afflict believers with sickness and that there was some spiritual virtue to being poor. Well, I learned different from the Bible. I learned to think differently. See, being chained to the victorious Christian life is really the same thing as being chained to the Bible. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle John, in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." That you would prosper, that you would be in good health. I see that all throughout the Scriptures. God desires His children to do well. And I'm holding on to that. In fact, it's holding on to me. I am bound by that chain of victorious living, the belief that He wants us to live a victorious life, not just barely muddle through in this life until we see glory in heaven. I tell you, it is God's will for you to be in health and to prosper, to live the victorious Christian life now. Jesus is the one who said that He desired that we would have life and that more abundantly. That's here. That's now. Moving on. For Christ, I am chained to living holy. Hallelujah. Jesus has set me free. But I still have a constraint. That is the call of holiness. Galatians 5, verse 13. Galatians 5, 13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You know, liberty is not the absence of restraint. That's anarchy. Liberty isn't being able to do whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want, with whoever you want. Liberty is the freedom to live and move and have our being in the very center of God's will. Not outside of His will, not even alongside of His will, but in the very center of His will. That is what your liberty is for. Jesus set you free from the bondage of the devil so that you could be free to live in the will of God and even be constrained in the will of God. We call that holy living. Holy living. Hebrews 12. Verses 14 through 16, I'll read this for you. It says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness." See, we're supposed to be pursuing holiness, "without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright." The birthright Esau sold. What is the birthright? The birthright, it's the rights that are afforded to the oldest son, at least in that time period. The birthright. How did he lose his birthright? He was a profane person, the Bible says. You don't want to be a profane person. The definition of a profane person, if you look it up, I think in Strong's Concordance, it says this: it's a threshold crosser. You know what that means? Like there's a line there. And you've set a line. I'm not going to do that. And then you cross it. You've just become a profane person. That's what a profane person is, a threshold crosser, a heathenish person. There are standards that we should uphold. There are standards that you need to set for yourself. There are thresholds, ways that you need to mark off your life to say, this is important and I'm going to stay on this side of that line. Do you have thresholds in your life that you will not cross? I hope so. You see, I have liberty. I have liberty. But there are some things I do not do. There are some places I just don't go. There are some movies, actually, there's a lot of movies I just don't watch. There are some things I do not drink. See, I have set some thresholds. Places I do not go. I won't cross. The chains of Jesus Christ will keep me free and keep you free from the chains of the devil. See, you're going to wear somebody's chains. If you cast off the chains of Jesus, I guess you could say you'll be free. You'll be free game for the devil. Those thresholds are there for a good purpose. It's a loving God that is setting up standards for us that will aid us in living a better life. That victorious Christian life that I spoke about, you know, being bound by Jesus is not bondage in the way that we often think of it. Being bound by Jesus is a connection. You are connected to your purpose through Jesus Christ. You know, satisfaction in life doesn't come from mere pleasure. Satisfaction comes from purpose. From purpose. It's amazing. When you are bound by your purpose in Jesus Christ, you can go through some hardship. You can endure some things that will cause you pain, and yet you'll still find satisfaction. Think of the Apostle Paul. His life was filled with all kinds of pain, all kinds of controversy, all kinds of threats on his life, and yet he was very satisfied. He had satisfaction because he was in the center of God's will. He had that purpose. He was in chains, if you will, with Jesus Christ. Man, oh man. For Christ, I am chained to evangelism. Yeah, that victorious Christian life that I spoke of, you know, a life of faith, a life of victory, a life of healing, a life of prosperity, all of that stuff that I believe, a life of true purpose, well, that's not for me. That's for others, to bring hope to the hopeless, to proclaim freedom to those who are in bondage, to reach out to others who don't know Jesus as we do and help them see what God has done for them and what he desires for their life. The chains I'm bound with have to include evangelism. Have to include evangelism. Again, it's not just for me. It's not just for us in this room. It's wonderful that you have found that freedom in Jesus Christ, that you have had the yoke of the devil taken off of you. We got to remember there are others who are still struggling under that yoke. There are others that are still in bondage. I can't walk with Jesus and not be concerned about them. I can't be tied to him. Can't be chained to the love of God and not want that love to be extended to others. Amen? We've got to keep reaching out. Now, I'll finish with this one. I could go on and on and on. But I'll finish with this one. For Christ, I am chained to this church. Yeah. If I'm a believer, I'm going to be chained to a church. And in this case, for me, this is the church that I am chained to. I'm not going anywhere. You can't kick me out. You can't chase me off. Well, Pastor Ben might, but you can't. Why? Because I found purpose here. I believe God has called myself and my wife to this place. And you know what? Whenever the church doors are open, whenever we can be here, you're going to find us here. I mean, I just challenge you. Try and show up more than I'm here. I mean, keep track. Write it down. At the end of the year, you tell me how many times you were here and how many services you attended and how many other meetings. Like, there's a men's meeting, by the way. Friday night, men, meeting right here at the church. I'm going to be here because I am chained by the chains of Christ to this church. And I don't have to be at every meeting. You understand that. And I'm not saying you have to be at every meeting. I'm just letting you know, no other place I'd rather be than hanging out with the saints. There's no other place I know of that I can be so blessed by than being here. How about you? Is this really something that excites you? Well, I know, I'm talking to the preaching to the choir here. You're here on a Wednesday night. It's freezing cold out there, and yet you came. So, all right, this is for the folks who might not be here who listen at another time. I am chained to this church, to the church of Jesus Christ, not just this body, mainly to this group, because that's who I associate with, but also to the church as a whole. I believe in the church of Jesus Christ. I believe everybody ought to be connected, chained, if you will, to the church of Jesus Christ. Find your own local expression of that church and put your hand to the plow with other believers for the kingdom of God, for the community that you live in, because you have power as an individual in Jesus Christ, but you have so much more when you join faith and forces with others. Amen? We do a whole lot more in this church than I could ever do on my own. I am bound by love and the chains of Jesus Christ to this church, to this body, and I hope you are too. So let me ask you this. I just gave you a whole list of the things that I am chained to. What is it that you're chained to? What is it that you need to be chained to? There will be particular things that God will chain you to that actually, ironically, produce freedom in your life. Freedom to fulfill your life. Freedom to pursue the purposes of God for your life. The reason that you were created. That chain actually brings liberty. You being bound to Him actually frees you up, again, to walk in His will, His decided, purposeful will for you as an individual and us as a body. I'm thankful that I have been set free. I am thankful for His liberty to follow Him. Amen. Lord, we thank You and willingly submit ourselves to the yoke that You have, to tie ourselves as Paul did, to be chained to You, to Your purpose, to the things that you direct us to because of what you have done for us, because of our love and our trust in you and the grace that you permit that we may give ourselves so extravagantly for you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to stir our hearts in this direction, that you would continue to reveal to us those things that need to be a part of our lives, those areas that need to not be a part of our lives, that we might set those thresholds, those boundaries, and walk closer with you. And I pray it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Consider what you should be chained to. Thank God the chains of oppression have been broken. Amen.